In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I think the reason I was crackling and all that with the mic is I've always kept it tucked under here, and I think it was touching this hairy stuff that I got on my chin. My text for today is not taken from any of the readings for Advent 2. It's got nothing to do with the collect for today, although one might read into it something that. And it has nothing to do with confirmation or new membership. So you wonder why I'm standing up here preaching. But it has to do with a parable that Jesus told in Luke's account of Jesus' life. Chapter 15, if you want to look it up. 15, Luke, verses 22 to 24. And I'll read it out. It's as follows. The father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Have you ever considered or put your mind on any consideration, the story of the prodigal son as a parable that Jesus told was a hidden reference to himself and his coming to earth? For your sake, for you and me, Jesus himself left the farm, the house of his heavenly father. He came down to this foreign country, this earth, giving away all that he had, and he lived among a country of strangers. Eventually, the pig pen of the prodigal son story became the cross of Calvary of Jesus Christ, through which he returned to his heavenly Father's throne. And Jesus did all of this, not as the rebellious son, as told in his story, but as an obedient son who had been sent out to gather and to bring home all of God's lost and wandering children. When Jesus told the story of the prodigal son, he was relating to his own journey away from his accustomed home to his new experience of associating with sinners. And finally, to the long and painful journey to a hill outside of Jerusalem. Advent brings us face to face with the enormous sacrifice of that journey that Jesus made for you and for me. And he came knowing full well just what it was that he would face. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit had already had a round table discussion about all of this. He knew that it would eventually culminate in a battle with Satan for our souls. And he knew that he would become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The agony of the hopelessness and of all the helplessness of the prodigal son was to be reflected in Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" To come to earth, Jesus gave away all that the Father had given him in heaven in order to redeem us so that each one of us could become sons of God. Because he came to earth, he opened the way for us to be God's sons as he is God's son, that we could return to the Father even as Jesus returned to the Father, and that his heavenly home could become our eternal home. There is no journey to the Father outside the journey that Jesus made. The one who told the story of the prodigal son is the Word of God, through whom all things came into being. He became flesh and lived among us. He made us a part of his fullness. I don't know how many people here have ever heard of the Monastic Fraternity of Jerusalem, but it was began in 1975 by Brother Pierre Marie. And he wrote about Jesus as the prodigal in a very poetic way. And I read that recently, and I wanted to be able to share it. So I have taken what Pierre Marie wrote, and I have reworked it. And here is what the reflection was that this man made. He who was born not from human stock or human desire or human will, but from God himself, one day took to himself everything that was under his footstool. He left heaven with his inheritance, his title as son, and the whole ransom price, his shed blood. He left for a faraway country, a faraway land, where he became as human beings are. And there he emptied himself. His own people did not accept him. His first bed was a bed of straw on top of a cement manger. Like a root in arid ground, he grew up. Very soon, as a man, he was despised for what he said and what he talked and what he claimed about himself. He soon came to know exile, hostility, and loneliness. After giving everything away in a life of bounty, his worth, his peace, his light, his truth, and his life, all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom and the hidden mystery kept secret for endless ages, after having lost himself among the lost children of the house of Israel, he spent his time with the sick and not with the well-to-do, with the sinners and not just with the just, and even with the prostitutes to whom he promised entrance into the kingdom with his father. And then, after being treated like a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, as a Samaritan, as a possessed person, and as a blasphemer, and after having gone to the bottom of despair, believing himself to have been abandoned by the Father, he cried out from the cross to which he'd been nailed, "I am thirsty." He was laid to rest in the dust and the shadow of death. And then on the third day, he rose up from the depths of hell to where he had descended, burdened with all of our crimes, for he bore all our sins. He carried all our sorrows. He ascended to heaven and stood before the Father who had been waiting for him there. Just like the father in the prodigal son who had been out at the end of the driveway every day waiting for his son to come home. And as the father on earth cried out, so the father in heaven cried out, "Quickly, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Let's eat and celebrate. Because my children who had been dead have returned to life. They've been lost for all eternity, but my son has brought them back." The young man being embraced by his father on his return home is no longer just a repentant sinner, but he's the Almighty Son being embraced by the Heavenly Father and bringing with him all of redeemed humanity. Advent, the time of year when we're to reflect on the coming of the Son of God and why he came. He came in order to be able to bring us home with him. During this past month, I've had the privilege, and for a clergyman it's a rare privilege, of celebrating the funerals of three people. One man murdered at the age of 57. And two women, one 96 and the other 94. In each case, I was able to share with those who were there that each one of these people had an unshakable faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They all knew that He had come for them and had purchased them a journey to their Heavenly Father. In each service, I was able to quote from John's Gospel these words of Jesus: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the whole purpose of Advent. Jesus didn't come so we could have a wonderful Christmas tree. Jesus didn't come so we could celebrate a baby born in a manger. Jesus didn't come so he could wander the roads, the byways of Israel. He came to die on the cross. He came to sacrifice for you and for me. He came so that he could walk the paths that we walk and even be as that prodigal son out in somebody else's pig pen eating the pods of humanity. So that he could rise above that, wrap us all in his arms and carry us, we who believe, to the very throne room of our Heavenly Father. That is why he came. Advent has no other reason except to introduce us and cause us to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ in our hearts. It's our choice whether we receive him or not. But that's why he came. The season of Advent is a time set aside for you and I to reflect upon that truth, even as we celebrate the anniversary of his birth. My wife was in a musical many years ago. I know the members of our congregation frowned at her for being in a musical on the stage called Godspell. And some of you even saw that, I expect. But one of my favorite songs out there was "Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord." How many people remember that song out of Godspell? Could you sing it? "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Everybody. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." So, what are you going to do this Advent to prepare the way of the Lord? What are you going to do this Advent to prepare the way of the Lord? What are you going to do this Advent to prepare the way of the Lord? And what are you going to do this Advent to prepare the way of the Lord? So called out John the Baptist. So let all our hearts call out as we, each one of us, make the journey around the room to the manger in Bethlehem.